Welcome back to Stick Out Your Tongue and Say Aha. Now that we've gone through the process and the steps of learning the areas on the tongue, the color associated with that specific area, and the organ system related to that specific area, and the flavor associated with that specific area on the tongue, now we're going to step away from the tongue aspect because that's our diagnostic and assessment portion. So now we've collected data, and now we're going to weave that data into our next block, which is food physics. So the first portion was really about the evidence of body dynamics, and now we're moving into food physics. So we will begin today by first introducing to you some of the patterns that you can begin to use as a method to grasp some of this information. I know it's new to most of you, and I apologize for that inconvenience, but want to let you know that this is an opportunity for you to grasp hold of, which will empower you to make better food recommendations to your clients and patients if you are a provider. And if you are a consumer or a patient, these will give you better choices that you can make personally and prove to your provider that you are capable of managing your body wellness. So we are going to talk about, first of all, the five zones on the tongue. They are associated with five organ systems, and we talked about those. So those organ systems are the heart, the kidneys, the liver, the spleen, pancreas, stomach sort of thing. It's a broadly stated digestive area, and the lungs. And so each one of those organ systems are reflected on the tongue in the zones that we talked about, whether they be in the front, at the tip, or all the way in the back. And then the sides for the gallbladder and the liver association, the back being for the kidney, the front tip of the tongue reflecting the heart behavior. Immediately behind the tip of the tongue was the lung area, and then in the middle, in the square in the middle, is the stomach, spleen, and pancreas, the digestive function. So those, again, that's just a quick reminder of the zones on the tongue and the organ systems that they reflect. The colors of the outline that surrounds our template, and you'll see it on our podcast opening page, are, again, the five colors are red, which is associated with the tongue at the tip, you know, the small half circle, that's the tip of the tongue area, and that is associated with the heart function. Behind that, all the way toward the very back, is the kidney, which is surrounded by a purple, blue, or black zone, meaning that foods with that color are going to be foods that affect that organ system. On the sides was the liver, and they reflect the sour area of the body. And in the middle, again, sweet, was the pancreas. So each one of these organ systems, the color outline is definitely a food pattern. So when you see a food that is blue to black in color, like blue corn chips or black or dark blueberries, for instance, they generally get targeted to the kidney. So they'll have more effect on the kidney than perhaps the liver and the spleen, pancreas. But nonetheless, it goes through the entire system. But it's a little bit of how our body sorts. And I'm not sure I mentioned a reminder that the lungs area is associated with the color white. And that's natural white, not white that comes from being bleached in the manufacturing process. So that happens a lot of times with sugar that gets, you know, it becomes white once it's processed. So same with flour. So with that being said, then we want to remind you that we have looked at groups of five zones associated with five colors, associated with five organ systems. And so five is the magic number to put down on your page and recognize in our last notes on episode 7, there was on the type portion of it, a list of those colors, those organ systems, and the flavors so that you will have that as a permanent record. I've also gone back and associated two videos from my YouTube channel that, well, they may be a little older, their data is still accurate and current. So I would love to have you take time to look at that information before we go on to the next episode. So this is episode 8, and we're going to take a quick break now, and I'll be right back to go into a little bit more detail about the organ systems related to the heart and the small intestine. Be right back. Glad you came back. So now we are going to talk about the heart system. Cardiac is the way that we talk about it in Western medicine. But in Eastern medicine, it's a little bit different. And so this will allow you to take a new look, a new dynamic of patterns that you might have a better method or a better means using this to create outcomes. It expands the possibility of outcomes for your patients and for those of you that are consumers for your body. So we're going to talk first of all about the heart system. And the heart system in this model is associated with the small intestine, believe it or not. So right smack in the middle of the chest and then in the abdomen. And the abdomen, the small intestine, is the upper area of the intestinal tract. There are two major intestinal tracts, the small intestine and the large intestine. Small intestine has some sections to it, and they have specific names. But for the point of this particular episode, it is suffice to say the heart and the small intestine are associated with one another. And so we can further outline, associate the small intestine with the sorting process to take food data through their sorting microvilli that are on the walls of that small intestine. And those microvilli sift and swish back and forth, very much like a car wash, and take those tiny particles of food and pass them out to the liver portal system, where then they become made into quality blood signals. However, in the current generation and data, you'll see a lot of folks that look like they are either pregnant or are obese because their gut is pouching outward. And so it's just in that portion of their body, not maybe in their arms or their legs, but all just in their gut. And there are a number of reasons why this has occurred, but I'll give you just a couple that are on the cutting edge of medicine right now. One of which is the overuse of antibiotics in the 50s and 60s, as we use that in order to fight diseases as a very common method to fight diseases within the human body. Those antibiotics eventually broke down what is referred to as the tight wall system, tight meaning very close together cellular structure in the small intestine. It's real tiny, tiny, tight, so that only the quality size of data that the microvilli, the little hairs, can pass through that wall to the liver portal system can pass through. Well, that's all changed because that wall has been broken down partially by overuse of antibiotics. But the other reason is because we are not digesting our food sufficiently in the digestive ripening area of the stomach and in the chewing aspect in our mouth. Carbohydrates are injected with saliva that contains enzymes, and that's where they get digested. Very little digestive juices or enzymes are produced in the stomach that will further break down that carbohydrate. It happens in the mouth. So very important that you chew your foods, and particularly carbohydrates, well, so that they're surrounded by the enzymes that are required to break them down once they reach the stomach, where it sits for a period long enough that they can be broken down. However, if you are a person who eats animal protein, which is a more sophisticated digestive chain of DNA that needs to be broken down, the element that's required for that is not produced in the mouth so much. There are some small amounts of enzymes that help to begin that process in the mouth, saliva. However, the majority of that digestive process happens within the stomach, and it happens as a result of the duodenum and the gallbladder injecting hydrochloric acid, which is a digestive enzyme process that is extremely caustic, very, very caustic. And then the bile that's produced by the gallbladder is injected in order to help with the digestion of saturated fats. So the marbling in beef or the fatty tissue that protects chicken, all of those are saturated fats, or those two items. And so the requirement of our body to break those down does not happen in the mouth so much as it does within the stomach through the process of those other adjunctive organ systems. So that's the digestive system. And we're giving that the one area of the tongue in the middle represents that entire aspect. So when we say the stomach system or the spleen and pancreas system, we're talking about the entire system, not just the unit within that system at this point in our discussions. So with that being said, just keep in mind that the quality of our heart function is very much associated with the quality of blood that ultimately reaches it once the small intestine has processed properly. If in fact it is not, and it passes out of the small intestine, and rather than being small enough to go to the liver portal system or the large intestine for wasting, it permeates that wall out into the gut and goes into those cells in the wall of the gut. That's called the omentum, O-M-E-N-T-U-M, omentum. And it acts as a fatty tissue wall. And so you'll see a lot of people walking around that have that area of the gut that's carrying their partially digested food, which is an unfortunate part of our current backlash of the process that we went through of A, antibiotic use, and B, the addition of ice and liquid beverages during the time that we put food into our stomach and our digestive system. Those factors, the factor of ice and water, affect the direct quantity and chemical vibrosity of hydrochloric acid to be able to break down those sophisticated DNA chains. So we've done a couple of things that, good news is, we can undo. So that's what we're going to be talking about as these classes go further. So we want to thank you again for tuning in today for episode 8. And this was the introductory, first of all, to the heart system and the two portions of it, the small intestine and the heart, make up that system. So when we're looking at the tip of the tongue and we find something wrong with it, sometimes as acupuncturists, we may treat the small intestine area and the digestive process in order to improve the quality of the heart function. In other words, the blood. So makes a lot of sense, don't you think? So I think that's probably enough new data to go over in this particular session today. So we're going to end this session. Again, we're going to take them organ system, zone, and color each time. And this today was about the heart and small intestine, the color of the organ system associated with foods that are red. And then the flavor is bitter. And we're going to talk a lot more about those flavors as we go through this process. But for the time being, we're solidifying our knowledge base bit by bit. It's a little bit like a watercolor. Splash on the color first, and then those broad vibrance appears on the page, and then you do the black outline, and it becomes a flower, a hummingbird, or a bee. And it's dramatic how that may occur. So your knowledge is going to develop into you until it becomes an outline that you can actually grasp onto and utilize as a tool. Thank you so much for tuning in for episode 8 of Stick Out Your Tongue and Say Aha about food physics and body dynamics. We look forward to our next episode 9 coming up next. And we do have the tip of the day. So do come back for a split second and we're going to give you our major tip. Hold on, we'll be back. Here's our tip for the day. Oftentimes we're not clear on what may constitute a red food or how it may work. But you may remember that about 6 to 8 years ago, there was a research study that was done about tomatoes and why they were such a great fruit/vegetable. It's actually a fruit. They were good for the heart. And they called the chemical that makes the tomato red lycopene. And in that, they also associated that chemical with an improvement of the heart function. So those extrapolations of data and incorporations into a single set of recommendations, which are tomatoes are good for the heart, came about. So we're going to give you just a couple more red foods that may affect what we call the yin or the fluids of the heart, which is not just the blood, but it is actually all the organ system chemicals that make it as a muscle, it pumps. And so it requires more than just things to create the blood that it's pumping, but also the tissue that's pumping that blood. So those things are foods like cranberries and foods like adduki beans, apples. Red apples is preferable, but not necessarily unique to the heart. But in general, red beans, all kinds of red legumes are good for the heart. Things that are even brown, slightly brown, tend to be a red that has other colors aligned with it or associated with it or incorporated with it within that food. So those are foods that you may select to build up the blood quality or the heart function. And depending on whether or not they have more sweet in them or less sweet, will make a difference on the amount of heat that they impart to the body and the quality or the rate of absorption. And those, again, are details that we'll talk more about later in our programs about food physics and body dynamics. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We hope that you enjoyed this particular episode 8 and look forward to episode 9 coming up next. And we'll talk about the next organ system in our areas, and it will be the kidneys at the back of the tongue. Thanks again. Have a great day and a good week.